вообще спада деньгами.
Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
It's Bill. You're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 464, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, and our newest station, AltRockRadio.ca. For those of you not in Canada, can't listen to that one yet, but they're working on it.
You're in Canada?
Yeah, Canadian rights only right now, though. So only people in Canada can hear it.
Hey, Canucks.
So with me tonight is Paul from Black Ridge. What's up, Paul? Paul and I go back a ways, like early PA Rock Show stuff.
I would think we are probably getting close to 2 decades now, possibly.
Well, you were definitely early on. The show started in 2004, so I'm working on 15 years.
Yeah, so we're close there. So like 15. See, I was like 15 or so, because it was early, man.
It was when what was the name? Emergenza is when I ran into you guys.
A long way since then. I'm with these guys, Black Ridge, now. So,
and not like I just played Walk Out the Door.
All right.
For my wife, and I was like, look, this isn't what I would normally listen to, but I'm kind of into it. And she looked at me and she was laughing. I'm like, what? And she pulls her iPad over. And she plays the intro to a song from Grease. And they were similar, but not the same. And I was like, holy cow, it does sound like something would be on Grease.
One of the things is Black Ridge does a lot of old soul stuff, right? Like we do like Temptations, Wilson Pickett, things of that nature. And it definitely comes through in the originals that we have. Like that we have the roots of that soul and that old time rock and roll in what we do. So that is on our album, which Bill said the track he listened to is Good Time to Go, which that is the title of our album, Good Time to Go, available on CD Baby and our website and whatnot. And you can listen to us on Spotify and YouTube and a whole slew of other things.
See, that Paul is definitely an old pro.
I'm a shameless self-promoter.
I don't even have to ask the questions.
Yep.
Wow, why am I blanking on the name of the band you were in back then?
Ill-fated.
Yes. Uh-huh. It would have came to me. Who coincidentally was the first band ever to play electric on the Pennsylvania Rock Show?
Right, right. We jammed your living room because we were five piece and we brought the Marshall amps and everything.
Electronic drum kit.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit more about the EP. I know the artwork was done by the famous Raina Pelli.
Yes, yes. Raina did our logo, and we're so happy. Which we just had a whole bunch of T-shirts made with that logo, which it was awesome. We have like four different colored T-shirts, and they are selling like hotcakes. You can contact us through the Facebook, or we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and get a hold of us, and we can get you T-shirts somehow, some way, shape, form. I think there's pictures on the interweb there. But so we have a 6-song EP, we are really, really proud of it. It took us a little bit longer to release it than we had planned because right as we got done recording, we sadly had to part ways with our saxophone player. And so it wasn't right to have his sax tracks on that. So we searched and searched and searched, and we found a guy. His name's Jeff Fabus. He's a Duquesne University graduate. He was a sax major, I believe. We had him, and we jammed with a couple practices with him, and he got the feel and everything. And then, he put his own spin on that, and we had him do the tracks in the studio. And then right after we had found him is we found who ended up becoming our new permanent player, because, Jeff, with other projects that he's involved in, he could not, dedicate time and with him living in like Mount Washington, it was really hard for him to, get together with us because we practice in Blairsville. But we got a new sax player named Tony Lassick, and he actually, there was some other little bits that we needed filled out. Something had went awry somewhere along the ways, and Tony had to go in and put in some tracks. So actually our new sax player is on the album, but both of those gentlemen did a phenomenal job. So once we got his sax tracks on, it was off to the races. And we recorded down in Sharpsburg at a place called Very Tight Recordings, Very Tight Records. Matt Very was our producer. What a pleasure it was to work with him. Oh, my goodness. First off, his studio is top of the line. I believe there's definitely a credit to it on the back of the album, or if anybody is interested, if you need a place to record, it is unbelievable. The quality and the workmanship that you get from him is unbelievable. But so we went down there, and he usually does, like he said, he does like a lot of metal and hard rock is what he records. And Blackridge, for those of you that don't know, we are a 7-piece rock, funk, soul, blues act. We have two guitars, we have sax, we have keyboards and synth, bass drums and vocals. And so it was very different from what he is normally accustomed to recording. So he really got to flex a lot of muscles that he normally doesn't get to use. And he definitely had fun with us, and we had fun with him. And it was awesome because he wasn't just a sit and record and do what we do kind of guy. He was very active in producing the album, as in having ideas, things to do, how to do it, structure, this, that, and the other. And that was awesome. I can remember when it was a vocal day, there was the one song that we were doing, and he kept saying, well, hey, try and sing it this way. And I would, and it sounded great. And we just added it. And it might be New Day. There might be the song New Day. There's like 9 or 10 vocal tracks on it. That's all me like singing. And that was awesome. Like so fun. I'd like never in a million years would I thought to do some of the things that he was telling me to do. And we just did them, and they went. All the guys had an awesome time. I believe it was like ended up being like 5 trips to the studio to finalize everything with the sax problems and everything. But it was just such an amazing experience. And we're working on some new originals now. We really can't wait to get back down there and get in the studio. So
how many tracks are on the EP?
Six. six.
So five trips really isn't that bad. That's
yeah. Yeah. When they were very, well, they were all day long trips. They were like 8 hours a day. So, they weren't like just like short little things, but they were all very, very productive whenever we were down there. So, it was just really awesome being like, I really can't say how good he was and how happy we are with the product and how clean and crisp it sounds and how, what, sorry, I'll kind of jump in here and there everywhere, everybody, like that's just how I am. But, Blackridge is a live band. Like you really need to see us live. And we were very, concerned, as to whether or not that energy was going to be able to be captured on our, album. And he did an incredible job, we think, capturing the energy. I definitely think that you can hear the energy of the band in the recording. So,
energy is definitely a word I would use to describe you guys. It's been a little while since I saw you, but I saw you last summer. On that big stage in Islin.
Yeah, we're playing out there again this summer, and we have a whole bunch of stuff. This weekend we're at Shotzi's in Johnstown. We have a couple festivals we're playing. I know June 14th through the 16th, we're at the Glades Festival up by Nemacolin. I think it's called Showdown Flowdown is the festival that we're involved in out there. And we did one out there last year. It was awesome. The people were awesome. The music is awesome. So if anybody, like, we have all the information is on our website. We have all our dates listed. We have tons of stuff coming up. Like we have like 15 or so shows in like the next 2 months or something. We have a lot of stuff. July 27th. Believe you're opening. Go ahead.
Is it? I thought it was the 10th. It is the 10th.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. We're opening for the Fabulous Thunderbirds at Jurgles. So really excited for that. We have never played Jurgles before. Really excited to get in there, not to mention getting to open for like a famous band. You know, like Wrap It Up, man. Like Fabulous Thunderbirds. That's pretty awesome. So we're excited about that. And recently we had played at Peter B's with a brother from another mother. And we had this guy that I had met through a gig that we had done for Pittsburgh Normal. His name is John Harvey. And we had him come and videotape our performance. And he's a really awesome videographer. And that was a really fun show with a brother from another mother, because they actually recorded the audio for that gig, and we are going to have like a live album recording thingy. So that's pretty nifty.
So you get to hear the actual live version of the band as well.
Yes.
On a disc or MP3s, yes, or however you end up putting it out there.
And also hopefully, there is going to be a lot more of that in the future here. Cause, yesterday, Sundays is Blackridge practice days. We practice Sunday night. And we just got a new PA system. We are very happy with it. 6,000 watts digital, 18 track mixer. And we are going to be able to record everything. We're going to start recording all of our practices and all of our shows and everything. And then we're going to start editing some of that stuff. Because, you know, with covers and everything, we can't really release stuff like that nature.
Right.
With the jams that we do, because we do go into a lot of extended jams and everything, and we are not your granddaddy's jam band. We are a totally different type of jam band. We're going to be releasing some of that in our originals, because we have some other originals that aren't on the album yet. So we're just really excited to be able to get this stuff out, and really excited for that PA, because it just sounds killer. So
now, I it's been a while since you've been on the show, and we won't talk about that currently, but I'm trying to remember when I asked you, because, you know, normally I ask, you know, the influence questions, but you've probably been asked that at least five times on this show.
It's awesome for this band, right? So up until we got our new sax player, Tony, I was the oldest guy in the band. And I was the oldest by like 10 years. I think the next closest to me was 10 years away. And when I joined this band, like, they had already been doing some of these old soul tunes and everything. And it's really awesome, like, finding these young kids. Like, our drummer just turned 21, like, 2 months ago. And for him to be, you know, digging on some Temptations and some Wilson Pickett and some of the things of that nature, like, it's really awesome. But there is a lot of varied influences with this band. Like, I know our bass player, like, one of, like, his most attended concert is Black Label Society, and he's in like a kind of sort of jamish band, and our one guitar player, his other band is a punk band, and like, just all like our drummer, Rush, Neil Peart, is like his big influence. So like the influences are all over the place, and it is definitely an instance where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
So if man, one of my recent questions, and I don't know if it really fits your band, but we'll try it.
All right.
So you remember back when Twisted Sister had to go and testify about metal music, and it kind of is a play along that. But if we were to play a Blackridge song backwards, what would we hear?
Gotta think of a song, because like one of the things is like our songs are really, in my opinion, like they don't really fit like one style, one genre. You know, we have like they're all very different. So I gotta pick a song and think what you would get if it was being played backwards. Like well, I know Blue Collar Blues is about like a work day, because you know I'm blue collar. Like, look, I'm still all dirty from work. Nasty and everything. That would be somebody actually getting rest, because it would be the reverse of a long day at work. So the song would end with somebody going to bed. So that's what you would hear, I guess, off of that song.
That's awesome. I like that answer. And for those of you that can't see Paul like I can, he's definitely dirty. He has a big black mark on his neck, too, that he probably doesn't even know is there.
all sorts of stuff. See, these are work hands. Calluses on the hands. Blue Collar Blues is real deal. That's not just a song that I made up. That's my life.
Are you still doing flooring?
I do all general construction now, actually. I'm a licensed PA contractor, and I work for an awesome gentleman. His name's Kevin Shop. Doing everything. Like today, I was... we had fixed soffit and fascia on a house, and we had to take three rows of shingles out to take an old gutter helmet off. So I was reinserting shingles up underneath an old roof and whatnot. So that's what I was up to today.
I was teaching science and social studies.
Right on.
There aren't many calluses.
You got a callus on a mind. That's the most important muscle.
That's a very valid point.
Oh, man, I do see that. Holy cow.
It looks like you have a hickey.
Yeah, no, I do not. I do not.
Okay, here's another question for you, Paul.
Alrighty.
If you could go back in time and spend 1 year following any band around, who would you follow and why?
All right. Who would I follow and why? See, that's a pretty weighty question, because like, you know, I have bands that influenced me that got me into music in the first place, but they were not necessarily like trend setting or change music. Like if I had like one thing to do, you know, like would I go and see like my favorite band, or would I see somebody who like changed music as we know it? You know, like, all right, he's definitely not my favorite, right? But Chuck Berry, like, go.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry for a year, you know, like right at the forefront of rock and roll, and to see his craziness and his shows and whatnot that he did.
Hey, Chuck, you know that sound you're looking for? I think I found it.
It's your cousin Marvin. Yeah. Marvin Berry. Like something like that, or perhaps Elvis, you know, possibly go see that, or would, you know, I go into, like, say, the Summer of Love or whatnot, like Haight Ashbury, and go out and check out everything that was hanging on that scene. You know, that's just, man, that's a really, it's a really tough one. It's a really tough one.
I don't, I like,
or,
I, I've or, never given thought to that question too much. Lot. I don't know who I would go follow. I have to think about that.
or do I go even further back? And like, do I go to like music's original, like, do I go see like Beethoven for a while or whatnot? You know, like, if I would do that, I would take a sampling of like 20 different genres of music and somehow be able to play it for him and just be like, check it out, dude. All this springs from you. You know, like, I think that would be kind of nifty.
And play some Rage Against the Machine and see what he thinks of that.
Exactly. Exactly. Or
Skell, who I wanted to mention.
Yeah, I was going to say, Slipknot, like, you know, like something like, what would he think? Be like, dude, this all stemmed from what you were doing. So
did you see Skell's news today?
No, I did not. I did see Mikey P and all them this weekend. I had to leave. We played at the Paws Across Pittsburgh benefit, and I had to leave because I had work to do. But got to talk to them for a little while beforehand. Got to see all those guys. Love Mikey P. Love Mike Eakus, Wally. Just wonderful to talk to all those gentlemen. So, what was their news?
Yeah, I'm gonna read it straight from Mike's Facebook page. It says, "Breaking news: Skell is returning to the studio." Which is awesome, right?
Nice.
"We've been hard at work with longtime producer Rob Diener, and I have a full-length CD worth of material ready to go. We are very excited to announce that the engineering and mixing of this will be done by the one and only Grammy Award-winning Jimmy Hoisin, who worked with Red Hot Chili Peppers, Ozzy, Yngwie, Whitney, and Phil Collins. You get the picture. Can't wait to get this into your ear holes."
Wow.
I read that as soon as I woke up this morning. I was like, it's going to be a good day.
That is awesome news. And it would be really awesome if somebody from Blackridge, when seeing them at a gig this weekend, just so happened to give them a digital download card of our album and lets Jimmy hear that. Hint, hint, hint.
Would you like me to point it out to them? I could do that for you.
I would not be opposed to that. I told you, shameless self-promotion, man. We just need that one person to hear it. I'm very confident in the music that we make. I'm very proud of the music that Blackridge makes.
Yeah, that was really, like, I saw you guys playing the Fabulous Thunderbirds. That was a cool one. I was like, that's awesome. Then I saw that one. I may not get out into the scene as often as I used to because I have three little kids, but that stuff still makes me feel great when I see it.
You know? Yep. We're working on a gig down at Club Cafe as we're waiting for some dates on them. They gave us some dates. We got to get back to them. Like I said, we have some stuff that we're doing this summer. I've got a lot of cool stuff is happening, and we have some other stuff that's in the works that we don't really want to talk about yet.
But I understand.
yep. Got to leave wanting more, right?
That's right. All right. So I am going into my archives. Give me one moment to get there. I got to find my new music folder. There it is. Bars. Blackridge. All right. So I have all six tracks from your EP. Which one would you want me to spin on the show? And actually, let's do this. First of all, it's Walk Out the Door, Good Time to Go, Celebration, Blue Collar Blues, New Day, and Nothing at All. There. Now we mentioned them all.
You know what? Like, how about, can you throw it on random? And whatever one pops up, we can take care of that, and we can listen or talk about that, or do I need to pick one?
You know what? We can do it this way. Give me one second. I'm going to pull up a random number generator.
Aha.
Track 2.
That would be our title track, Good Time to Go.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about Good Time to Go, and maybe if anything interesting happened in the studio, and then we'll give it a listen.
Well, Good Time to Go was It's our one. This has like a, I always joke say this one has a little bit of a Latin flair to this. And, you know, I shake my hips suggestively on stage dancing to this song. But the tune, I believe the guys had parts of it. Like our one guitar player, Matt, had actually the little bridge kind of sort of in it. Those lyrics are his. Paul had some other lyrics. There are two Pauls in the band. There are two Pauls. One guitar player is named Paul and singer me is Paul. Paul had some lyrics. So like Paul had a verse and then Matt had the breakdown. And then so I wrote the other verses in the chorus as we were going. And it was just like real organic because we like some guys had a little jam of this way. Other guys had a little jam of this. And then like, with me filling in the lyrics and everything, it was definitely a very, cohesive, team effort, shall we speak. Like not one person could be, credited with writing that song. So I actually think this was a very good example because, this was a very big team effort. And, so very, very proud of this song.
Okay, so we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to Good Time to Go by Blackridge.
Can I suggest something to be played with it?
Yeah.
How about some KGB?
Oh, I definitely have them.
Yeah.
Is there a song in particular you would like to hear?
Let me see. I just think I found one of their... I had found one of the albums. Can't find it. I can't find the
Rock and Roll Dream.
One that had Cliffy's bass on it.
Yeah, it's Rock and Roll Dream.
Yeah, anything from Rock and Roll Dream.
I have every track off of that album. So
anything from that.
Let's see. This is a tough one because Dead on Arrival was awesome.
Dead on Arrival was awesome. Listen, for any of you that are not listening, Bill Volgris was the singer songwriter from KGB. The wonderful group of guys, Cliff Rose, Gary Simmons, Greg Schatz. I love this band. Bill rhymed luminol. For those of you that are true crime buffs and whatnot, like, you know, luminol is what they use to make blood glow whenever there's been a murder and somebody tries to cover it up. Like anybody that puts luminol successfully in a song, gotta give mad credit to that guy. So Bill was one hell of a songwriter and loved KGB.
All right, God so bless. We're gonna go ahead and play Dead on Arrival then.
Hey, it would be a good time to go if you found somebody dead on arrival. So,
oh, I should play them in that order too. Of course. Find them. That's awesome. All right, so we're gonna take a short break and we'll be back with Paul from Blackridge.
Well, you'd be dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Wicked attraction on the day we met. You'd be dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival.
It's Bill. You are tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 464, with Paul. Paul, say your last name.
Guarini.
Okay.
It means little warrior in Italian.
Anyway, so with us tonight is Paul from Blackridge, and you missed us talking a little bit about the new EP. We just got done playing Good Time to Go off of it, and we also...
Our title track.
And we also played Dead on Arrival by KGB. Paul gave you a little bit of information about that song, too, which was cool. Paul, this is a question I'd like to hear an answer from you on. Who are your favorite bands in the local scene?
I love Farewell Felicia, because I love Kate. I love Josh. I love Wilmot. And I love Digger. Been in bands with all of those people. I love them. And I love their outlook and their attitude. A band that I had mentioned earlier, Brother from Another Mother. We play with them a couple of times. They are just tremendous guys. And they're really, really awesome what they do. Their jams and stuff. They're kind of a jammy type of band. Really, really interesting. Just great people. Love playing with Soul Radio. Think those cats are unbelievably talented. Who else is? I'm trying to think of some other ones that we play with. Because with this band playing out other areas, like I'm in a kind of sort of different scene than what is normally around. You know, I'm trying to think some bands from out in the ether that we have played with that were pretty nifty. So, but the three that I mentioned are pretty good there. I really, really dig those. So, but I love all local bands. Like, even if your music isn't my type of music, if you're out there doing it, man, I love it. I got the respect for you, and other people ain't doing it. So God bless you. Get out and support live music, no matter what it is, no matter where it is. Support live local music.
I'm gonna turn away from, not really away from music, but someone that is near and dear to both of our hearts is struggling right now, and I just wanted to throw out there that we're all thinking about Alicia and her battle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't familiar with who we mean, on Facebook, check out Angels for Alicia Ruby. It's spelled H-R-U-B-Y. She's a. Paul, why don't you explain what you know about her, and not necessarily what's her, how she's handling her situation.
Well, this will be a perfect platform to tell you. And this is it's going to get into some pretty heavy stuff here. Some pretty deep stuff here. Met Alicia through Rock for Life, and the year that we did it, the year that was Alicia's year that she was a recipient. I remember, I believe she was 14 years old. And it was a year that I dressed as Grape Ape. Yes. I had painted myself in purple body paint. I wore these teeny tiny little purple shorts. I had blown up a whole bunch of balloons, purple balloons around me to look like a bunch of grapes. And I wore a gorilla mask. So I had not yet got to meet her or her family. And as I was getting prepped and ready backstage, putting on all my accoutrement and whatnot, Alicia was sitting with Brittany out. If you're looking at the stage, it would be the back right corner. So I guess that would be stage left back corner. She was sitting there, and I looked down at her. I said, "Hey, sweetheart," I says, "I'm about to go do my thing." I says, "Whenever I get done and I get changed and everything," I says, "I want to come meet you, you know, come meet your family and talk to you." So, ill fated. We played our set, and then, I got off stage and I went, and when I met her and her family, and I hugged Alicia, like, this is going to sound corny, sound cliche or whatever. It literally was like a bolt of lightning, striking me. Like I literally had a, like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and instantly I felt this connection. Like she was a sister, like she was a daughter, like she was my best friend. Like it was, I really can't explain it. Like I just say, it's like a bolt of, lightning, like a shock of electricity. And then meeting her family and just the amazing people they are, the kind, giving, just amazing souls that they are. So, fast forward for a little bit here, and I've known the Rubies for a few years here, and Alicia's condition at the time had not got any better, and she was struggling with major organ failures, major shutdowns, and she's on a painkillers, more powerful than morphine and whatnot. And I struggle very heavily with depression, and ever since my mom had passed and whatnot, and I had some issues from my past and everything. And at the time, like this is where I said, it's getting heavy. So, you know, viewer discretion, if there are young children listening, they might not want to hear this. But I was possibly like suicidal, almost like contemplating it. And every day for a month, I sat on the corner of my bed wondering if I was just going to kind of go and figure out a way to end it, you know? And, one of those days, as I was thinking about, you know, ending it because of my quote unquote troubles and problems and strife that I was going through, Alicia's face, popped into my head. And, here I was, had my health, had a job, had a house, and, I'm worrying, complaining, crying, woe is me. And this, at the time, 16-year-old girl was on a painkiller 1,000 times more powerful than morphine, has six autoimmune disorders, has liver cancer going and shut down, and she is nothing but smiles, and she is nothing but helpful to other people, and she saved my life. I credit my knowing of Alicia. And I'm getting really choked up here. That's why I said this is really heavy stuff. Like, I'm crying, people, here. It's how much I love this girl. She saved my life. She literally saved my life because of her and because of her face popping into my head. It totally changed my whole outlook on life and changed where I was headed, changed the road that I was down. So that 16-year-old girl literally saved my life. And I love her to death. I love you, Alicia.
I didn't mean to.
No, man, don't worry about it. These are tears of happiness and tears of joy. Anytime I talk about Alicia, it's tears of happiness and joy because, like I said, she saved my life. She saved my life. So
I knew Alicia before she got sick.
Yeah.
I was her teacher.
One of her favorite teachers. I know that too.
And I was actually with her parents when they got the first set of bad news that started the downward spiral. So. Mm-hmm. It's been, I'm wearing my Angels for Alicia Glow in the Dark bracelet right now. It's been on my wrist since last year's Rally in the Alley with Joe Fell show.
I need to get a new one. Mine actually just broke because I never take it off at war. It just snapped off, and that was the last of mine. I usually have one or two on the back burner, and I am through them. So
I'm sure they won't hesitate to give you some more.
Nope.
Alicia is 20 now, and it was her eighth grade year when everything started to happen, which would have been 2008, and the Rock for Life that you were talking about would have been the 2009 Rock for Life, because I still remember, I went to, first of all, I had a concert that I was setting up that was going to be for Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I'm still going to do someday. But I was working on that, and that's when I found out what was going on with Alicia. And Matt and Steve clearly were involved, and they allowed me to use the ball field. The Moose paid for the insurance. So everything was donated. So everything that came through the door in 2008, I was able to hand write to them, well, to their what's it called, the account. But you know, the specific account that you can make donations to people, like they call, you know what I mean, though. So everything that came through was that. And then I said to Matt and Steve, I'm like, hey, if you don't have anybody for Rock for Life next year, what would you think about doing it for Alicia? And Matt was like, man, I'm sorry, we already have somebody. And I was like, oh. And I can't remember when exactly, but Matt sent me a text. He's like, hey, call Alicia's mom and tell her we're doing Rock for Life for her. And I was like, wait, what? And that was, and this is going to go along with what Paul was saying about how amazing these people are. So I called Donna, and I'm like, Donna, my friends with Rock for Life, you know, Matt and Steve, who you met last year, like they're going to do their concert series and Alicia's going to be the benefactor. And Donna goes, can't they raise money for someone else? We really don't need it. And
yeah, well, here, your audience is, I'm going to even one up that story is, so after, when we were doing Rock for Life that year is, we used to have a double wide trailer that was like the quote unquote staging ground / backstage area for all the bands, all the food that we make, so on and so forth. And, it was not in the greatest condition in the world.
No, and it usually smelled too, but
yeah. And Alicia had found out that, the roof on our backstage trailer was leaking. And so the same year that we raised money for her, Alicia, when she was in Children's Hospital, and she was pretty much a permanent resident there, she still is not out of the woods, and you know, it's not the greatest, but, she would get a whole bunch of, Christmas cards. And people would always like give her like well wishes, donations, this, that, and the other. So Alicia, of her own volition, like a 14 or 15 year old girl at the time, in the hospital with like liver cancer and all this other stuff, asked people to donate a dollar if they were sending her a card, and she raised money for us so that we could get a roof on our trailer. That's the kind of people they are. Yeah. And that was all her idea. Her parents had nothing to do with that idea. That was all her idea.
There's more to the happiness side of the story. And recently Alicia was engaged.
Yes.
Which made me feel really old. She's doing, she could still use some prayers. We'll go with that.
All the time. Everybody, all of our Rock for Life children could always use the prayers, and their extended family too. It's one of the things, man, you know, like these children, like it affects every aspect of the family, and we really try to bring the family into the fold and everything. And so definitely never stop the prayers and well wishes and good vibrations and so on and so forth.
Hey, I'm going to change subject now because shortly we'll both be crying.
I already was.
I know, and I'm fighting it. So
I ain't going to hide that. I am. If anything, I'm passionate. So,
wow. I don't know where to go now. I should have held that off till the end.
You could go to one of the many places on the interweb where Blackridge is represented.
Ah, yeah. See, you are good at this.
See that little, but first off, Blackridge is two words. And we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. Our album is on Spotify. We are on YouTube. There is a slew of other things that we are on. We have digital download cards. You can contact us and get a card, and you can download our album directly to your phone or your computer or whatever you want. We have hard copy of our album. We have t-shirts. So we got a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of ways to contact us and get to us, to Twitter and whole bunches of stuff.
Now, you mentioned that you guys rehearse in Blairsville. Is that what you consider your hometown?
Home base, yeah. Home base. It's actually is part of the name is the Ridge. We practice on the Ridge. That's where the Ridge in Black Ridge comes from.
Okay, where's Black come from then?
Okay, so when I joined this band, and this band has been rolling for quite a while before me, like 4 years or something like that before I had joined these guys. And when I joined, that's one of the things that I asked. I said, so what's the deal with the name? You know, any special significance? And Paul said, you know, when we thought about it, like a lot of our favorite bands had a color in the name, like Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, you know, they're like, we picked a color, and he says that we practice on the Ridge. So it was Black Ridge. There we go. That's how Black Ridge became Black Ridge. And it's two words.
Which song that you perform with them, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an original, but which song do you think, you guys pull off the best? Or is there a song, is there a cover that you guys do that you think the listeners should check out? You can answer both of those if you want.
Either House of the Rising Sun or Whole Lot of Love. Or Helter Skelter. Or All Along the Watchtower. Those are four covers that I would say like we crush House of the Rising Sun and Whole Lot of Love. And we have our own version of All Along the Watchtower. And we have a really interesting jam that we do in Helter Skelter. So all four of those are pretty neat. And then for the originals, it's just like all of them. You know, like my favorite music in the whole wide world is the music that I make, or else I wouldn't be making it. So I'm putting everything I got into singing those songs, and we're very proud of them. The sound of them, the structure of them, the lyrics, we're very proud of all of that. So
I will tell you, when I was watching you guys over the summer, I was hanging out with members of some metal bands out in the field, and this guy's name comes up all the time, but John Lane and uh-huh. I was standing in the field, and John turns to me. He's like, man, these guys are killer.
And, you know, real John Lane. So,
you know, I need to get him on here, and I know he's in the process. Man. What's that?
You definitely need to get the Hill Jack on air.
He and I have,
Hey, if he recorded you and you recorded him, would it be like some crazy sort of infinite radio loop? You know, looking, like hold a mirror in front of a mirror.
He's in the process of resetting up his studio in his new basement. So there are some things to come from the Hill Jack that have been missing for a while. But I don't want to get into too many details. But he and I have had some conversations. So you will be hearing from him again, other than on stage when he's telling somebody to scream. And that's another band. You know, his band, the Hellfire Club. Where else can you go where you can hear bands like Blackridge play and then later in the night hear a metal band like the Hellfire Club play and only pay $20 to be there for two nights?
Uh-huh.
And it benefits children, which is the most important part about it. So is there anything else you want to throw out there that we haven't covered yet?
All right. Well, first I will say, like, as I said, as Blackridge is a 7-piece rock, funk, soul, blues. And it consists of, we have, I'm Paul Greeny. I'm lead vocals. Then we have, Matt Bortz is lead guitar. We have Cody Lemon on bass, 5-string. We have Mike Conrad on drums. Our newest addition, Tony Lassick on sax. And we have the heavy lifter, Paul Cha on rhythm guitar and lead guitar and background vocal and lead vocals. And we have Corey Carosa on keyboards. So I think that's all of us. Yeah. I think that's the whole band. So, and it's awesome being in a 7-piece. It really, really is awesome being in a 7-piece. Other than that, like I keep trying to plug, as you know, we have our Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we're on Spotify, we're on YouTube. You can get our CD and CD Baby, whatnot, but check out like the Facebook, the Instagram, or the Twitter. Find out the dates that we have. Like I said, we have some festivals that we're doing, some pretty bigger shows. Contact us. We have tickets for the Thunderbird show. Please get a hold of us on one of these media streams that I talked to you about, or send any one of us a direct message or anything of that nature. We would love to see you out at the Thunderbird show or come to the festival. I know June 14th through the 16th is when we're out at the Glades campground up there in Nemacolin. Come out to that. That's a really neat thing. And support local music. That's what I got. So,
hey, well, thanks for coming on the show. I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Thank you, Bill. Sorry, I'm very long winded and, sorry for my appearance, but as I said, Blue Collar Blues isn't just a song that I wrote. It's my lifestyle. So,
all right. So this has been episode number 464 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring Blackridge. Make sure you check them out at facebook.com/Blackridge Official. On Instagram, it's Blackridge Official. And on Twitter, Blackridge Music. Check them out, as he mentioned, on YouTube, Spotify, and numerous other places. And make sure you go and check out the Pennsylvania Rock Show at parockshow.com or our main umbrella site, buildthescene.com. From there, you can also find other podcasts that feature local unsigned bands, including my other podcast. Paul, did you know I had another podcast?
I did not.
Ah, it's called 3 Questions and a Song.
Oh, and, right on.
And it's literally exactly what the title says. 3 questions, 1 song.
Oh.
But the intriguing part is the third question is actually asked from the person that I interviewed in the episode before. So band members are asking each other questions. That was an idea that Doug Carnahan had given me years ago. We were going to use it for something else, and it never came to fruition. So,
you know, an idea that Doug Carnahan and I had is it just schedules never met up, and being with him having kids and whatnot, and I work all crazy and whatnot. I love, love, love having discussions with Doug. We actually wanted to try and organize like a debate club like have actual topics to do point, counterpoint, pro and con and whatnot, like real like debate. We're actually in talks to do that. And it just schedules never met up. And that was something that we were going to do.
Well, yeah. He was
two lead serious rock bands. We're going to be in debate club.
I had another podcast. It was called Throwdown and it was me and four lead singers. And as you can probably guess, the time factor became an issue. It was John from the Hellfire Club. It was Brian, who was in Cage and is currently, I can't remember his current band. I'll have to get back to you on that one. And then the fourth member floated from time to time. But anyway, so now I'm the one being long-winded. This is episode 464 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Next week, we have Across the Dawn, followed by Neo Stem on the 14th. And then I'm wide open and school is over, so it becomes much easier for me to book these things. So if you're interested in being on the Pennsylvania Rock Show or Three Questions and a Song, drop me an email at bill@buildthescene.com.
I am in I've seen the faces. So long since I said goodbye, and I began to wonder.